Preston and Steve Fun Size Podcast.
Kath sent me this listing for a house in Stone Harbor.
Mm.
And it's lovely. There's big picture windows, and it's quaint. You know, it's a nice looking little home. And
it's a very...
Three bedrooms, vaulted ceilings, and a bright modern kitchen, and it only cost $7.95 million.
Oh, that's it? It's right on the beach?
Right on the beach.
Stone Harbor.
And Jesus.
But you have to see it. It's small. It's like a little cottage house. And what you can't see in that picture, because I don't know if there's a colored printer anywhere in this building, but it's like a very bright colored house. It's teal. Like you would, it would catch your eye if you passed by it. It's very cutely decorated.
Do you have a picture of it over there, Preston?
But it's not a $7.9 million house that you would expect.
What?
Seven.
That's $7.9 million?
Yeah. No.
That's, all right. So to me, to explain it to you listening, it's like a cottage.
Yeah.
I don't know what the square footage is because the rooms and everything looks nice. It's two story, you know. It's got an ocean view.
It's what I would call quaint. It looks adorable.
Yeah, I'm curious what the
not $7.9 million adorable.
So they actually don't list the square footage.
This was in PhillyMag.com. What's that?
They actually don't list the square footage.
In most listings or this one in particular?
No, in this one in particular, it says that it's not known.
Okay.
But there's a reason that it's...
Yeah, you want me to read the...
Yeah, please.
Here's the reason.
Who lived there? Who famous lived there?
Nobody. It was built in the 50s, by the way. It was built in 1954, I think it was said here. So it is, it's the last house before the ocean, so it's right there on the ocean. It's located across 111th Street... from a bird sanctuary.
Okay, I know where this is.
Yeah. Mm. That's where the million-dollar birds live.
Behind which sits Villa Marie, the Immaculate Heart of Mary Convent.
Which will never be developed.
Okay.
So that's part of the appeal.
Yep.
All right, so the convent
But those nuns party all night long. Never
shut up.
The convent is set back 270 feet from the ocean end of the dunes, and the bird sanctuary in those dunes extends all the way from this point to the nearby south end of the island. That means, so here's the deal. You get an unobstructed 270-degree view of the ocean, beach, and dunes. So there's no, it's an unobstructed
nothing.
View.
Nothing.
Yeah, you just see nothing
except
but
for the
ocean.
Occasional nuns on playing volleyball.
Yeah. You see ocean and sand, and not even power lines intrude on it, and you enjoy a beach that almost feels private thanks to the absence of lots of neighbors.
All right.
$7,950,000 is what this is going on.
All right, so we're looking at a picture of it from the back facing the ocean. It does have a quite a glorious view. To the right, Preston, is the bird sanctuary. Is that where that begins?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
All right, and then behind it is the convent right there with the swimming pool and the ATVs.
Yeah, I mean, Stone Harbor really is some of the priciest real estate along the Jersey Shore, so it's a high figure, but I'm not surprised by it. And it's location, location, location.
But look at it. It's
like, location, exactly.
Like, it's just a cottage. It is not this big mansion that you would think would be $7.9 million.
Yeah, but it's beachfront property.
So you're going to buy that and then tear it down and put up a nicer house.
Are you?
If you got that kind of money.
If you got that kind of money, then you can sink another $500,000 into...
Yeah, but
the footprint's not that big, so the house can't be... Whatever you put there is not going to be that
big.
Well,
that's what I mean. So I wonder what the property's like. If they are going to tear it down, they're not going to be able to put some big monstrosity.
So what you're basically buying is the protection from development.
Yeah, exactly.
For the most part.
Which, at the Jersey Shore, is a big thing.
Yeah, because there was the story, I think it was last year, about people who had purchased... Was it the year before? You guys are more tuned to what's going on down at the shore, but they had purchased what they was a view of the ocean, and then there was a whole series of houses going in between them and the ocean.
That happens all the time. People lose their views all of the time. People will argue with their neighbors. They'll go to the town meetings and try to stop them from putting decks or steps or whatever just to save their view.
And zoning and reconstruction and renovations at the beach at the Jersey Shore are really restricted. Casey, I don't know if you and I were talking about it, or maybe you and me, Kathy, but there are homes where they will not knock them down completely. They will build around, and basically they'll build a brand new home, a newly renovated home, around the existing home so that they can get around some of the zoning rules.
Yeah, the grandfather laws and stuff like that. Like, there's certain...
So they're building a house around a house?
Yeah, so
they will gut everything on the inside. They'll knock it down to the foundation, but they'll keep that quote-unquote footprint and build a new home around it instead of...
So they don't have to...
Nick, so what my friends did was they didn't even gut the inside of that house. I mean, they updated it, but they literally left the exact house right there, and they built around it and up. But that house stayed. So that original house, what they had, stayed as it was, and then they built an entire giant house around it. Mm.
Got a text says, I'm an architect in Stone Harbor / Avalon. We've done over 100 homes down there. Average price is around $2 to $4 million for an inland home.
Yeah.
Inland Dear home. God. That means... Inland.
Yeah. I don't go to the shore too much. The restaurant that we've gone to a couple of times.
Reed's.
Yeah, is that in Stone Harbor?
That's in Stone Harbor, yeah.
It's really nice.
Yeah.
What?
And that's where they have the jet shoes that you can fly in the air.
In like Stone Harbor.
Right by the Reed's.
Oh, I didn't know that you could actually do that here.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's where, like,
with
you know,
the grand from Tony Stark.
That's why I want to buy that area in Wildwood Crest. It's a little Wave Runner area, and then you could put the little thing there. Yeah. You guys can borrow $3 million.
Have you ever been down to Malibu proper in California?
Yeah. When I did the Franklin and Bash thingy, we had a party beachfront at this house in Malibu. It was awesome.
As you go down streets, you can hardly even tell their home.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, you don't even know.
They hide them
and
well.
And then across like hedges are these, again, and there are places, there was one that I just saw, some celebrity just sold it, $6, $7 million. Half the size of the house we just looked at here, like nothing, but it's right there.
But at least
all you have in front of you is the Pacific Ocean.
But you also have the weather that kind of you can use that year round. That the Jersey Shore. Now I've been down there for the winter more than ever before. So I was down there right after Thanksgiving, around Christmas.
Into ice fishing, just to explain to people.
But there's not a whole lot you can do down there. You know, for the most part, you know, a lot of things just kind of shut down, and it's
depressing a little bit.
A little bit, but it's also like if you can appreciate it for what it is, you know.
If you want to go and slow down for a while, though, that's a pretty good place to go.
How about taking the time to write your novel?
Yeah. You could do that as well.
I love the beach in the winter. On a contemplative sort of just relaxing Zen thing, I think it's phenomenal. I would probably be down there a lot if I had a place down there. I don't like the overcrowded nature of the summer, you know.
Casey, how much was your cousin's house that I went and squatted at that one night?
And that's on the beach in the Villas. That's my uncle's house, and it's like $1.5 million.
That's it?
Yeah.
Dude, this house is huge on the beach, right on the beach, which felt like a private beach. Why would this be so much more expensive than that?
Well, that's the difference between Wildwood and...
No, this is the Villas.
Press the Villas. The Villas.
And, so and the we're Villas talking is on the bay.
Probably a 6,000-7,000 square foot home.
It's
maybe
a
bigger.
Huge home.
Here's the difference. You get a synagogue behind it, alpaca reserve to the right of it.
Wait, what's
They're
the? I don't docile. Know what the Villas.
So the Villas, it goes up the bay, up the Delaware Bay. So it's not actually. It's not the ocean right there, so
and
there's
in
no
fact,
surf. And
you're facing west, and you get to see the sun set over the water.
You get
it's
a beautiful,
pretty cool, man.
Unobstructed sunset every single night, and it's quieter. But like,
it's north of Cape May.
It's north of Cape May, and you don't really swim in the bay.
Yeah,
you know, I mean,
but you're right, Kathy. It's the difference between Stone Harbor and Bayside, and I don't know why exactly that real estate is worth so much more in Stone Harbor, but it is.
Well, that's what I was gonna say. Like, why is Stone Harbor that expensive?
Here, I got a realtor on the line.
Yes.
Who wants to explain it? Lionel, good morning.
Good morning. I'm sorry you're bothering me at work.
Thank you for turning that around. What's up, man?
It's that house is a teardown. Yeah. It was built in the 50s. It's not hurricane compliant. It's probably not raised. I mean, there's
it's not.
You know, there's eight, you know, there's a whole bunch of reasons why 10 minutes after settlement, the bulldozer's there, and that thing's gone.
Right.
Its location and, you know, Stone Harbor, plus the lack of neighbors' ability to, you know, build near it and buy it, and it's ocean. They ain't making no more ocean front.
Hey, by the way, Lionel, to answer Kathy's question, why Stone Harbor? Why is that so desirable?
It's one of the more desirable of the Philadelphia suburb destination.
So what makes what makes it that? What it just is, does it have to do with who got there first? Oh, so you had some well-moneyed people get there.
It's like a Louis Vuitton purse. Like it's just the name. Now.
Just
it
is.
Let's just say it ain't Wildwood.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So let me ask you. You're saying that after the house, after they sell this house, bulldozers are going to come in and level it.
Before the sun goes down on settlement day. They'll be tearing it. They'll be tearing that sucker down. Because if you can afford that price, you can afford to build a designer home
on that. Yeah, and if you're going to put a designer home on that, I mean, because the footprint's not that big, how much are you going to spend on that? Less than $1 million.
For build, it's probably $250 a square foot to build. So,
okay.
So
if you do something like, if you do like 2 square feet, it's only like $500.
For all right, just to sort of put this into perspective, there is a new home that's being built in Wildwood Crest on the bay. It is gigantic. I mean, it is
10,000 square feet.
I mean, looking at that cottage, it's like 4 of those.
Right.
It's 4 of those, and it's like, I don't know, like $2 million or something. I mean, listen, $2 million is obviously a lot of money, but it's right on the bay.
In comparison.
I'm sure Lionel will agree, too. In this case, it's location, location, location. Mm-hmm. As Nick pointed out, you're blocked from having development go up around you.
Yep.
All right. That's the privacy factor and bragging rights.
Yeah. All right. The birds you can pet.
Appreciate it, my man.
I don't want to make this story about myself, but just a fun fact about this story. I had the worst choke of my life when it came to being on a date in that bird sanctuary.
Really?
And this is a girl. And
did
I had
a bird fly down your throat?
No. I had a huge crush on her. This was in high school. And Steve, I just blew it 100%. It was awful.
What'd you do?
This girl named Megan, she was really hot. And for whatever reason, she was into me. We went on a date in the bird sanctuary. Like, I thought that would be... Yeah.
Romantic
down the shore.
I packed some string cheese and Kool-Aid. How old were you?
17 or 18.
All right.
Totally liked this girl. I knew her my whole life.
Nice move, going to the sanctuary.
Thank you. And we get back, and I'm driving, get in the car, and take her back to the house, and we're waiting for some people. We were going to go out with some more friends afterwards. And I was like, well, what do you want to do while we wait? And she goes, well, we could just sit here and make out. And I was like, and then I turned on the radio. And
I
blew it. To this day.
I'm so mad at you right now.
I am mad at me, too.
I would be angry at myself for the rest of my life.
The rest of my life.
I don't understand what
this
happened.
Guy's a gay bird lover.
That's how I felt. Yeah. That's how I still feel.
He wants to become a nun.
Yeah.
Man,
I've had those moments too.
Oh, it was awful.
Well, not to go on.
I'm sorry.
We're done talking about that. I had one where there was it's my time at Dunkin' Donuts. Now, you know, we run on Dunkin'.
Yeah, we do.
But it also brings some bad memories because there was a girl who was so completely into me and I was completely into her. And at that point, basically, she said, my parents are come over to my house, you know. It was as overt as you could get. I will hump your brains out.
Mm-hmm.
Same sort of reaction.
What is that? What is that reaction? Is it embarrassment or inability to seal the deal?
Because you spend so much time planning out this precise progression you think you're going to need to institute to get to that point.
Yeah.
That when it's slapped in your face, it throws you off so dramatically that I had no. And I'm good. I mean, I've always been good with talking to women. It's never been an issue. But at that point, I was like,
"Yeah,
you don't know how to handle that."
Yeah, yeah. I was on a. We all have these.
Yes,
they haunt us forever.
Uh-huh.
I was on a band trip in high school. So we were traveling to, we went to Nashville for a band. Or maybe it was orchestra. Yes, because Darcy was in orchestra. Anyway. And I found somebody, a friend of mine, this girl, Darcy Arnold. She's like, hey, tell him, Preston, I like him. Hey, dude, Darcy Arnold likes you. Wow, really? She's really, really cute, too.
Yeah.
And I just balked. I didn't do anything. I did nothing. And on the bus ride home, she was in the back making out with somebody else.
Could have been me. Man. This girl, by the way, was going off on a date that was supposed to make me jealous and then said, I don't have to go. Like, you know, but he'll be upset.
Right?
I just horrible handling.
I think that's it, Steve. I think she preempted my move in my head at 17 or 18, which was going to come an hour or two later, And I did not expect it at that particular time.
You had it all planned out. All right, so I'm going to hand her some bird feed. Yeah. Our hands will touch.
We can just sit here and make out.
These stories of that one time where the girl was slumming it. Kathy, tell us the time that you were slumming it. that you gave that guy that didn't have a chance.
I always had a boyfriend.
Yeah, and they were always worthy.
I mean, yeah, I guess. I don't know.
Sure, I'll come to Juniata Park.
Oh, my God!
All right, anyhow. Well, if you got a house like this, chances are you can get some.
That's
how
right.
about that? Is that a way to wrap it up?
That's good.
Or you have a place to go cry.
Yeah, maybe. So $7.95 million is how much this Oceanside Cottage in Stone Harbor will run you. I saw another story, and these guys could afford this home. I thought this was pretty great. Casey, you have asked before. I think it was you that's asked before. When the lottery gets up to, you know, $300-400 million, why not just go and purchase every single combination of numbers? Which, by the way, it's millions.
Yes.
It would take you millions of dollars in order to get that many. And then try to sift through and find a winning ticket if you have one. Well, there's this retired couple that won $26 million by using arithmetic to beat the game's odds. So it's a bit of a lengthy story, but it's worthwhile. I really loved reading this. Jerry and Marge Selby owned a convenience store in Evart, Michigan before they retired. And they got retired and they got rich by winning multiple state lottery games over the next 6 years.
So they owned a convenience store at which they sold the lottery tickets?
No, it doesn't indicate
that. Okay.
So the scheme began in 2003 when Jerry, who graduated college with a degree in mathematics, saw a brochure for a new lottery. It was called Windfall, and realized right away how to beat it. The game featured what they call a roll-down effect, which meant that if no one won the $5 million jackpot, the money would be spread across those who matched either 5, 4, or 3 numbers instead of all 6. Okay?
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
So lottery officials announced when this happened, so Jerry would buy thousands of tickets.
So just to
knowing that he would get a certain amount of matches.
To clarify, in most cases, that pot usually rolls over to the next round.
Yes.
It doesn't then just get broken down to subcategories of numbers.
Correct. This is a $5 million jackpot that would be spread out across all those who match either 5, 4, 3 or numbers. So he would buy a certain amount. He would buy thousands of tickets and get a certain amount of matches. So simply put, Jerry explained it that if he bought $1,100 worth of tickets, he would have at least 1 4-number winner, which would pay him $1,000. He would also get at around 18 or 19 3-number winners, which paid $50 apiece, and that would total $1,900. So he bought $1,100 worth of tickets, and he would win $1,900. So there's a profit right there.
Right, yeah.
So when he tried his plan for the first time, he bought $3,600 worth of windfall tickets, and he won back $6,300. Profit right there.
$3,000
profit right there. So the Selbys would eventually buy hundreds of thousands of dollars in tickets when a rollback week was announced, earning them massive profits.
Quick question.
Yes.
Where are they buying these tickets? At how many locations? And what did no one say?
Well,
what's going on here?
Let me continue. They don't explain where they bought the tickets, but the next time he bought $8,000 in tickets and nearly doubled his investment. So
yes, 8,000 tickets, please.
Yeah. So he told his wife about the winnings, and the couple began playing with hundreds of thousands of dollars. Eventually, Jerry set up an entire corporation.
Wow.
Called GS Investment Strategies, and invited friends and families to buy shares for $500 each. Okay, and the reason he had a corporation, I'll explain. So the Windfall game later closed down in Michigan for lack of sales, so the couple began playing in Massachusetts where the game was still being offered.
Oh, my God.
GS Investment Strategies grew to 25 members, and for the next 6 years, they won massive amounts of money during the announced roll-down weeks. So the Selby said that they would sit in a hotel and sort through tickets for 10 hours a day, 10 days in a row, playing more than $600,000 per attempt. So each time this would happen, they would buy $600,000 worth of tickets.
All right.
And then they would spend weeks sifting through these numbers to find the winners.
Forgive me. I know they put in a lot of work to parse out the information. So they're sifting through. They're looking at each number
for
winners.
Yes.
That would drive me crazy. Yeah.
And that's why people don't do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Okay, but these guys did. They did this 7 times a year, and they said it was just basic arithmetic. It gave you the satisfaction of being successful at something that was worthwhile, he said, to not only us personally, but to our friends and our family. The only thing I found really remarkable is nobody else really seemed to grasp it, he said. In 2011, the Boston Globe got a tip that someone may be scamming the cash windfall game.
Not a scam.
And later found that the Selbys and a group of math majors from MIT were actually monopolizing on the winnings. There was another group at MIT that was doing it.
Wow.
Jerry kept all the losing lottery tickets, which totaled near $18 million, and filled 65 plastic buckets. More than $17 million was bet by the MIT group, earning over $3.5 million in profits. Before the Massachusetts state treasurer shut down the game and began an investigation, which found that the chances of winning were not affected by the high volume betting. Therefore, the Selbys did not commit a crime. It was totally, completely legal.
Legitimate.
Wow.
See, what I would do is I would buy 10 lottery tickets and end up owing $26 million.
Seriously?
So the corporation earned $26 million, which included an $8 million profit by the time that they were done.
So they made themselves, after all of these efforts, $8 million.
Yep.
So with man hours equated out, that's still pretty good.
They only did it 7 times a year.
7 times a year
for 10 days.
10 days.
Working 10 hours a day. That's pretty solid.
That's pretty great. I wonder if... because, like, filling these sheets out all the time, if they just had, all right, you fill these sheets out one time, and now we have these sheets, you know, to stick into the lottery
machine.
You
keep using them. I got you, yeah. I'm sure they refine their methodology.
They use the money to renovate their home and pay for the education of their 6 children, 14 grandchildren, and 10 great-grandchildren. They recently sold their incredibly storied to movie producers who plan to make a movie about it.
And they donated a lot to this GoFundMe campaign in Philadelphia.
Oh,
this homeless guy.
Yeah. Good investment.
Oh, did he get gas for... Yeah,
it was an incredible story. Yeah. Wow. And they gave him $500,000.
I thought that was pretty amazing that they managed to do it, that they actually went through with it and to turn it into a corporation.
There's the difference. I would never do that. I don't even just play the regular lottery, you know, for just 1 or 2 tickets. So the notion of this commitment is amazing. Yep. They deserve it. They, you know, their winnings. But I'd kill myself.
It seems like a lot of work. I think I'd rather just go to work.
I'd rather be one of those people that clips coupons, you know. And,
has my little pouch. That's a lot of work.
Apparently CBS Sunday Morning had this couple on, or maybe it was 60 Minutes, and they did a special on them. But at seven, that's only working every other month for 10 days. And you can make millions of dollars.
Did you guys ever see that movie 21? I think that's what it was called, with Kevin Spacey.
Yeah.
They gamed the system, and I think it was maybe MIT students or something.
It was.
Version.
In fact, it was
card
MIT
counting,
students,
which
yeah.
is illegal.
Is it illegal, yes, or is it just frowned upon?
It was illegal.
Okay.
But they did it in, obviously, as they're super smart, they did it in an ingenious way. Do you remember what happened to them, Casey? You remember how it ended off?
I don't. It was based on a true story.
I remember he was accused of molesting people.
that's Kevin Spacey. That's a real person. But no, they would go to these casinos in Vegas, and they found ways to make it work and made a lot of money doing it.
So has it ever been explained why counting cards, if you're sitting there playing at the... It's just the discretion of the casino to set the rules, and that's that, right?
Because I have no idea.
You are simply playing the game if you're doing that.
That's what I always thought. I don't understand why it's considered bad cricket or illegal or whatever it may be.
Because can you say that gathering data on horses running in a race and setting up like a flow chart and coming to conclusions about who will win a race, is that illegal? Because
or doing your research.
You're basically doing your research.
Yeah.
You're just doing it on the fly in the moment.
Yeah. I don't know why they don't like it, but that is the case. How about, I had another story.
Please.
It's kind of junk drawers, really. That
we're yesterday.
Or did I notice
it? Noticing we just did the junk drawer. And so he's back.
Marissa sent me this story. You guys remember the New York City pizza rat?
Oh, yes.
There's a video of a rat dragging around a pizza. It was pretty funny.
There were a couple other rats along the way, too, right?
Yeah, there was a bagel squirrel or something like that, I think.
Yeah.
Well, now Philadelphia has the pretzel rat.
Yeah!
Pretzel rat.
Oh, my God.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Pennsylvania now has the pretzel land.
Which is apropos for the city.
Yeah.
I mean, pretzels, you know.
Thanks for keeping up the spirit.
A Reddit user spotted the rodent's cousin scavenging the tracks of inside the 13th. It says 13th Street Station of SEPTA's Market Frankfurt line. And
I used to be a Rolling Stone.
And recorded video of the determined little pest dragging not one but two soft pretzels still stuck together. And it's unclear if the pretzel rat later abandoned his prized possession as Pizza Rat had after he got enjoying the bountiful.
Do you know what? Growing up in New York, never saw pretzels like this. You know, this kind of configuration for pretzels. Mm-hmm. It was not common. Now, you know, it's so common down here.
Mm-hmm.
It was always the big standard old style.
But looking
Bavarian pretzel.
Looking at this video of the rat dragging the pretzel around, the pretzels are the size of the rat. Ugh. Imagine what that would equate to in human
food.
What would you be dragging around?
A pretzel.
Food-wise, that would be the size of you.
Human-sized
pretzel. It would be like it'd be like a side of beef, right? Yeah. You know, something like that.
Like two sides of beef, almost. Yeah. So when Rocky's pounding away on a side about a side of beef.
That is what this rat
I'm
just
very
came
hungry.
That's what this rat just came across.
I'm Rocky Rat.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to eat that rock.
Dude, when you saw a video of a rat punching punching pretzels. Soft pretzels.
By the way, is that bad for the meat when he does that? Or is that better?
Well, you remember Paulie complains because you're splintering the bones.
He's breaking the ribs. Yeah.
What?
I'm sorry?
I said,
I have no idea what you just said.
I don't think you said anything.
Did I just say anything?
I would think that would ruin the meat. Casey. Okay. I mean, you can tenderize beef, obviously, but not for all cuts of meat. So I would imagine that beating up the meat like that would not be good for it.
Well, just to clarify, we started with pudding. But it was too easy!
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Yeah.
The ability of, you know, of size ratio.
Yeah. And what they can drag around.
Unbelievable.
That's pretty cool.
We all need rats. If the animals can do it, why can't we?
Right? So we now have pretzel rat. I noticed something that will speak to Mr. Morrison.
That
will speak to you, narrator.
The noticer's giving something to Steve, who's me. I'm in some bizarre loop right now.
Bald men are often seen as more successful and dominant than men with lush locks.
Now,
according to a study from 2012.
Mm-hmm. I sent this over to you with a little subject line saying, I am obviously disproving this theory every day. it was an interesting thing. I always wonder if the people who conduct these studies are themselves bald.
Well, no, or is it because they're a little more intimidating looking?
The research says that women tend to find hairless men to be larger, stronger, and more powerful.
There you go.
There it is, right? The research was conducted by scientist Albert E. Manes from the University of Pennsylvania.
I've conducted a thousand studies, and it's my conclusion that bald men are actually erotic and exciting.
And he is bald.
There you go. Look at Moby. There's your virile man.
The study, which compiled information from 59 subjects, showed the participants multiple photos of men. The first photo featured a man with a full head of hair, and the second one showed that same man with no hair. Most participants reported that they found the bald men to be more attractive overall.
I have to say, years ago when I adopted the bald thing, best decision I ever made.
Yeah.
I mean, by that time I was rocking sort of a Bruce Willis Die Hard anyway.
Yeah.
And then I took it down to like a crew and then like a, you know.
And even that look, I don't mind. I mean, if you're doing that and not, you know, attempting a comb over, or, you know, trying to, you know, pull one over on us, I think that look is totally fine.
Man, Kathy showed me a photo of somebody that she knows that was or is wearing a toupee recently. And it looks awful. Just awful.
Show us the picture, Kathy.
I know.
Are you allowed
to? It's really bad.
Okay.
By the way, Steve, if you were to grow your hair back, would you be slightly bald up here, receding?
Bruce Willis, Die Hard with a Vengeance.
I hated that movie.
Give us something else.
I would have it come out to like
up there, Midway?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So I'd have a little bit. It'd be
so you made the good decision.
Yeah. I mean, I was salt and pepper hair in high school. Mm-hmm. So I was a little bit of grays going on then.
Oh, I see it, Steve. So like
boom.
This.
Oh, yeah. Like that.
Yeah.
That's what I'd be.
That's just no offense.
Yeah.
Stupid looking hair.
Yeah.
I'm glad you went bald. Oh, okay. No, that guy needs to be bald.
Oh, my God.
That guy needs to be
bald. Is that somebody you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is Sam Jackson bald now, too? I forget.
Yes.
He is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because he and Bruce Willis have the same hairstyle in Die Hard with a Vengeance. Mm.
So, apparently, here we go. Baldness makes an immediate and obvious statement about a guy.
I'm bald!
Seth Godin, a bald man, said, I'm not saying that shaving your head makes you successful, but it starts the conversation that you've done something active. He's a tech entrepreneur, by the way.
Well, Jeff Bezos. He's bald, right?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Apparently, they come across as smarter, too. Bald men are typically older and tend to be seen by women as more intelligent and wiser, according to a separate study conducted.
I'm smart, successful, and bald.
At the University of Saarland.
See, I always thought, like, way back in the day, I thought it looked weird. Not on black men, but on white men. I thought it looked weird. I go back like Daddy Warbucks, and he looked weird.
It looked odd. Like, it was there were few and far between. Years and years and years ago, there was an actor, Yul Brynner, who was a bit of a sex symbol, the King and I.
He was one of the only ones that could pull it off.
He could rock it. He was a macho man. He was in the Magnificent Seven, and he was just, you know, Westworld.
Telly Savalas, another great actor, but he stood out. It looked odd that he had a bald head, but he was considered a sex
symbol. Who loves you, baby?
Yeah, yeah. So there's one catch, though. Bald spots don't apply to this. Men only seem more attractive, intelligent, and successful if they are completely hairless and bald.
Have you always liked the bald look on guys? Was Dennis bald when you first started dating him?
Yeah, he was bald, but my boyfriends before that were not.
Like Fabio?
Right, exactly. He had a lot of hair. Yeah, so I don't know, but I completely see this, how they could, you know, just kind of seem a little more intimidating and not the bald patch, because that's just like, all right, yeah, come on,
I don't
shave
know
your
what
head.
To do. I'm in the science.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas I say, I'm shaving my head, bitch.
I would, too. If I had thinning hair, I would take it all off. But I have a wonderful, lush head of hair.
You do.
Oh, my God. He's like Liberace.
It's why you're not as successful, though, as Steve.
I know. But I can't bring myself
We have achieved
up.
Exactly the same level of success.
We have identical contracts.
It's in the contract. So that shoots that theory down. No, but he gets to keep his hair.
But if I had thinning or balding hair, I would definitely take it all off.
It was weird when I. It's so funny. You talk about like blowing that thing with the girl in the bird sanctuary. These things that you do in life, where I'm like. My hair was a super crew cut.
Yeah. Yep.
Super crew cut. And I bought a bald wig to see how I would look. it was right there anyway. And I'm so stupid. I'm like, I want to see how, as if something different would happen.
Yeah.
But, you know, you convince yourself of these things. It's not like I was going from Bon Jovi to bald. I was, you know, like a number one setting on the electric razor.
Yeah. Right. Right.
But, you know, these are the things you think about.
They find that men who have bald spots or patterned baldness tended to be seen as weaker and less attractive. So you take the same guy and you just, let's say you take a completely bald guy, and if you put on like a male pattern baldness wig on him, he would automatically turn to weaker and less attractive.
So I'll tell you something.
Wow.
And let me ask you. So when I did start shaving my head, I think there was more interest in me a little bit. And also, Preston, did you notice that when you got married, there was more interest? Like you would.
More people.
You ended up on the radar of women a little bit more.
I don't know. That's hard to say. I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think I don't. I know. I've, I you know that that does yeah. happen, but I don't meet for personal experience.
I would always say, I got married
yeah.
because I like this woman a lot. Mm-hmm.
Steve, when you mentioned Bon Jovi, he still has a good head of hair, although he's fairly gray at this point. But, you know, I've noticed over the last 2 or 3 years, maybe a little longer, that Eddie Vedder is starting to lose his hair a little bit. And Eddie's always had long hair. But if you look at him now, he's got a little bit of a bald patch going in the back.
It's just
thinning. And it's weird to see rock stars, especially ones that had long hair, start to lose it a little bit.
By the way, the best ever toupee moment in a movie has to be Tommy Boy.
Oh, my God, yes. You tell no one.
And I will kill you. Tell anyone and I will kill you.
David Spade.
All right, anyhow. These are just a couple things I noticed. I figured I'd pass them along to you.
We just noticed things.
Yeah, we do.
Steve really liked that last story.
Want more Preston and Steve? Get the whole show podcast or Bizarre Files at PrestonandSteve.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.